Well, hi everyone. It's Saturday, the 1st of February. Happy February. I'm in my room. I was kind of looking at the porthole, but there's a whole bunch of people out there, so I don't want them to look in at the same time that I'm looking out. We're in the middle of unwrap and vert wrap, which is underwear replenishment, you know, with the ship alongside, and while we're getting supplies from them at the same time, we're getting the chopper is dropping supplies on the deck, on the flight deck. So it's kind of a ticklish operation that requires all hands, and everybody's out there in working parties, you know, getting all the gear from the that's brought over from the shot line, oxygen tanks, and everything. It's quite an operation, really. I've seen enough of them so that I don't feel obligated to go out and look every time they have one. So, in calm weather, it's a tricky enough operation, but we've been having very bad weather for the past couple of days, and quite stormy. So that it's quite rocky. In fact, if you hear any noise in the background, it's either the chopper or something else. I don't know if you can hear it. Let me see. I think you can hear some of it. I heard them say, call 222, that's the bridge. So things are rather, you know, they're going on here, and we're at this, it's tricky getting this done tonight. I feel sorry for the men because it's cold out and it's wet and rainy. It's just generally miserable, and then the seas, you sit and look at the porthole and you see the ship going up, and you can see the see that way down the bow of the ship, and then all of a sudden you see the top of the ship, and the joke is, gee, I'd sure hate to be on that ship, it's rolling so much. Of course, you're going the same way. We've had quite a few sick people this time, seasick, even some of the doctors, but as I said, I've been very, very fortunate and haven't gotten seasick in the time I've been out here, and I suspect that I probably will not. Haven't been out here now, gee, I've only got 46 days or something like that to go. Someone counted them. They asked me today, and I said I didn't know. So they informed me how many days I had left to go. But anyhow, I thought that I would make this tape to you today, although I'm afraid that I have very, very little news to tell you. Very little has happened since we've been out here. Apparently, and I got some of this news in the Holyoke transcripts, as a matter of fact. One of the fellows from Fairview, his name is Fanoff, works down in the x-ray department, and when he gets the Holyoke transcripts, he brings them down for me to read. Really, it's quite a, I mean, I never read a newspaper in all my life that had so many sad things in it, all the deaths and everything. And as a matter of fact, one of the copies I read where, I think I told, maybe I mentioned this to you, where that Helen Sullivan Shea, your Uncle Con dad, his wife died. I saw that piece in the paper. And I did see about that Maureen Ricketts, I guess was her name, that died too. But it said something about the Marines invading the Batagan Peninsula at Chulai. And we didn't know it. I guess the higher-ups knew it, but we didn't know what was going on. But apparently that's when they sent the sanctuary down there to off Chulai, was when the Batagan Peninsula was being attacked. Now, whether or not they actually, really, and truthfully did run into a lot of casualties or not, I don't know. I can't tell. We don't know. Certainly, the sanctuary hasn't been taking on a great many casualties, but yesterday we heard the word that they found 700 families, VC families, in the area, all women and children and no men, so the men are someplace. So there are 100 caves, 100 and some odd caves down there. So they're going in the caves one by one to see if they can roost out these men. Of course, what they're trying to do is to prevent an all-out Tet offensive. Tet's supposed to be around 17th of February sometime, I guess. So they're trying very hard not to to have another big offensive, and this was their whole thought. I think sometimes the higher-ups to be panic a little bit, but That's neither. I'm just listening, trying to listen to 1MC and tape two. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not running the show from 3rd Mav, and but they get a little panicky, because we have been up here now. You know we have been up here since we got back from Subic. I told you we haven't had fresh milk or anything. Well, yesterday they told us we could go in on yesterday for 4 hours to offload gear. You know, all the people that have left the ship's gear is still on board and everything in mine. And I want you to know, although you're making fun of my things I sent home, that I am much better organized. That noise that you hear, by the way, in the background is them taking on stores. It's like on a revolving track. Well, the track doesn't really revolve. It's the kids that are pushing it along. But, you know, it looks like old-fashioned escalator type of thing, and they just push it on as the stores come on, supplies come on. Anyhow, some of the people, I'm shipping home, I have 6 boxes, including 2 big speakers and 1 styrofoam box and 2 other cartons and then a small sea chest. Because this is just the first shipment. I hope I can get all the other one in my big sea chest. And some of them have 19 boxes and more. So don't think that I'm the only one that buys over here. And don't think that I'm not as organized as the next one. Because I want you to know, I think I'm doing pretty well. Anyhow, we went in for 4 hours. We were supposed to get milk and get supplies and all these things and get the gear off the ship. And they offloaded, took all the gear out of the quarters and every place and put it down on the 01 level. And they were going to put it in a mic boat and take it into Da Nang. And one man was going to accompany all the stuff. Well, the boats and everything didn't come alongside right on time. And the seas got rough and they couldn't go. So we had to get underway and leave the harbor. And all our gear's still on board. We didn't get any of the supplies we went down for. A four-hour reprieve is really not much. They say now that we can possibly go in on Tuesday. I hope that's right. So maybe they can get the gear off. Maybe we can get some milk and things of that sort. In the meantime, the chief nurse had gone aboard, gone ashore, and she's supposed to let me know when she goes because I'm next senior. Well, she casually dropped by when I was in the shower and mentioned she was going to 3rd Mav, which is the briefing area, which is, they're the people that direct all the ship's movements and everything, where we should be going and all. So, I said, okay, I'd go, you know. I said, fine, go ahead. She's supposed to be back at noontime. Well, she missed the ship. So that leaves me in charge, and there have been a couple of problems, but I guess that, I can handle them. She doesn't do that much anyway, so there's no real big worry. I had the night nurse give the report to the captain. I had the duty last night, but she's still not bad. The weather is bad, but I think that maybe she figures since she's down there, she might as well take the time off. And all she does, because this is very uncharitable of me to say, but it's true, is complain about the fact that we've been up here so long, and she's been off the ship like about 4 times, and none of the other kids have been. It doesn't make any difference to me, because I have enough to keep me busy downstairs. I'm working call every 3rd night. I just want to, you know, rest when I can, and I'm not interested in going running any place. But with her, you know, she's kind of a disappointment as a chief nurse. She doesn't bother the kids, that's one good thing, but she is kind of, she doesn't do very much either. She doesn't care very much either, I'll tell you. So, everything seems to be okay. And, other than that, as far as your tape is concerned, I was, of course, happy as always to hear everyone's voices and to, hear what's new at home and all. It's very good. I hope that, Alice and Mary won't mind if I don't take time out to send them a note and thank them for the package they sent me, that if they consider this enough on the tape, because really, I haven't got a whole lot of time. I really have been very busy. And to even sit down and write notes, it does take time, you know. And I have been, as I say, quite busy. And I have just a lot of aggravations at this point. I think perhaps, you know, when you're getting near the end of your tour and you know that you're getting near the end of it, that you try hard not to have what they call a short-timer's attitude, but you try very hard to keep going. and keep everything up to snuff as you had before, but it's hard sometimes. You just almost feel like saying, oh, well, forget it. Maria was in here this afternoon. She's very upset about her ward medical officer, and he's a very difficult young man. And I said, well, tell him off. And she said she can't tell him off, that she just can't bring herself to do that. But I tell him off. If I don't like it, I tell him. The other day, someone of them said something to me about, well, you don't have to talk to me in a nasty tone of voice. And I said to him, I speak to people in the tone of voice they speak to me. So that shut him up. And he's one that you just can't be nice to. You just can't be nice to him because he takes advantage of you. The only thing he understands is no. And then he doesn't understand there very well. So, and with new people and everything, and trying to run that OI down there is hard. But so when I get to Chelsea, if there isn't anything that they can say that's going to upset me, I'll tell you, shake me up, because I've had so much of it out here. I can't say I haven't had cooperation. I have a very, very cooperative boss, and he's a wonderful boss. He never complains about anything I do. If he doesn't like it, he doesn't say anything. He hasn't anyway. And however I run the department is fine with him. So I can't say anything. But I must say, however, that after a while, I just think maybe it's time to come home. We were talking about this afternoon what we would be doing on Saturday afternoons if we were home. Because here, you know, you don't have any activity, and this is not meant as a way of complaint, but, gee, we get dressed up, we're just in our uniform, but we put on eye makeup and everything just to go down to dinner. And you wouldn't bother even at home if you're going out to someplace real plush sometimes, but we do. I got a care package from Peggy and Al the other day, and then it was a Danish salami, which I haven't opened, and a can of crab meat, because Peggy knows how I love crab meat, and... Oh, I had a can of enchiladas and a can of, gazpacho soup, which I shared with Maria. We both had a glass of it when we got off duty one night, and we got off duty by 11 o'clock. And I got a can of, some little candies. Anyhow, it really tasted good. I haven't opened the salami yet, as I said. I haven't opened the crab meat. I'm waiting until some night when we're all kind of hungry, because it'll go in an instant, you know. There won't be anything left. So I can't tell you, Mother, when that stuff is ever going to get home. It was amazing about that business of getting home. I was glad the silver got there and that you liked the pattern. I was quite concerned about getting it there. Didn't really want to ship it. I felt that it would be better to mail it. And I do like that pattern. It's the simplest one, and it was less expensive than the other Gorham patterns, but I happened to like it. I just didn't feel that I wanted to put so much money into a silver. But I thought it was nice. Gosh, with the silver and the dishes and the glasses I've got them and the linen. Geez, you'd think I was going to invite the Pope over for dinner. But that's all right. When you come, you'll eat off the best when you come down and visit. I'm glad that the ginger jar has arrived. When you talked about them being cast iron, I thought, gee, maybe they sent the wrong things. Pa mentioned them being like cast iron. Because they do have some brass lamps that are very popular over there, and I didn't buy any of those. These are kind of made out of glass, and they're called ginger jar. And I'm wondering if they're a bit big for my table, but at the price, I couldn't afford not to buy them.